The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Ekev. The Torah tells us in the Parsha Dvorim Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis, Yato Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Imoch. Now Yisrael, what does Hashem, your God, ask of you? Ki im liyiras Hashem Elokecha, only to fear the Lord your God, l'leches b'chol derochov, to walk in all of his ways, l'ahava osay, to love him, v'la'ava yiras Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha b'chol nafshecha, b'chol nafshecha, and to serve him with all of your heart and all of your life. Lishmar es mitzvahs Hashem ves chukesov, and to guard the mitzvahs of Hashem, his statutes, asher aneichi mitzavcha hayom, that I have commanded you today, letev loch, in order that I may do good for you. The simple meaning of this text, Rashi brings, that even though you were disloyal to me, Moshe speaking to the people at the end of the 40 years in the desert, and you went and you served the golden calf, and you went and you rebelled against me 10 times, still I ask very little from you. I don't ask that you should bring me gold, or you should bring me silver, but merely that you should fear me, serve me, love me, keep my mitzvahs. And even that is only in order, letev loch, in order that I can do good for you. This is the simple meaning of the text. The Gemara brings us, however, a drosha, which Rashi also mentions in the Sechta Brochas, Daf Lamed Gimel. Wrong. The Sechta Brochas, Daf Lamed Gimel, Seif Omed Beis. Omar Rav Chanina, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except the fear of heaven. As it states, Vato Yisrael mo Hashem elokecha shoel miimoch ki im liyira. What does Hashem ask of you? Only to fear him. This is a very fundamental principle when it comes to understanding this world and how to serve Hashem. What does it mean? Rashi explains, Kol ha-bo'al al-odem b'yad ha-kodesh baruch hu. Everything that comes to a person is mishamayim, comes from heaven. For example, if he'll be tall or short, poor or wealthy, clever or a little dense, white or black, Hakol bidei shamayim hu. This is all decreed by heaven. Avol tzadik v'rosho, but when it comes to whether he will be righteous or evil, ein bo al yedei shamayim. This does not come from heaven. Eseh mosa biyodei shel odom, b'nosan lefonav shnei drochim. This is given over to the domain of man. And he is given the free choice. And it's up to him to choose to fear Hashem. So that's what it meant. What does Hashem ask from you? Only to fear him. He does not ask for you to be brilliant, for you to be wealthy, for you to build great achievements. No. He asks only that you fear him, because everything else are in his hands. The domain which he has given to man is the domain of choosing between right and wrong, good and evil. This the Gemara also brings in Masechet Megillah, Daf Chaf Omer Aleph. And there, Rashi says, Chutz Miyira Shemaim, Eiso Mesur Bidei Odom, Shi'u Atzmei Meichin Libei Lakach. The fear of heaven, which is instilled in man, is developed by man himself, not by the Almighty. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, could instill in us his fear, as it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do what he wants. Nevertheless, this area he left to man. This is a free area on which the Almighty does not interfere. The Gemara in Masechet Nida and Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "The Dorish Reb Chanina Bar Popo." Reb Chanina Bar Popo. Darshan expounded. Eisi malech hamamuna ala herion. There's an angel, and his job, his area, is to be in charge, to assist the Almighty in the birth of new offsprings. His name is Laila, Laila Shmai. Natal Tipa, at the time of conception, he brings the seed, Umamido Lifnea Korish Borchu, and he brings it to the Almighty, the Eimel Afonov, and he says, Ribeni Shalalam, Master of the Universe, Tipa Zu Matehe Oleho, declare on this seed what will become of it. Gibor Ocholosh, will he grow to be very strong or weak? Will he be brilliant or will he be not so clever? Oshir or Oni, will he be wealthy or will he be poor? V'ilu Rosh Tzadik Leikoma. But he does not ask the Almighty to declare on the seed if he will be a good person or a bad person. Because in that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not decree. That is left up to man's choice. As it states, Hakol bidei shemaim chutz miyir shemaim, from what our posuk, Vato Yisrael ma Hashem elokech shel mimoch, this is all that I ask from you. I do not ask from you to be brilliant, because that's not within your hands. To be wealthy, also not in your hands. Strong, also not. But ki'im liyira osi. Could you close that? But only to fear me and to do my will. And this is what the Novi, the prophet, Yirmiyahu said. In Yirmiyahu Tes, Pasuk Chof Gimel, Keyamar Hashem, this is what Hashem says, Al Yishalel Chochom B'choch Mosoi, let not the brilliant praise themselves because of their brilliance. Al Yishalel Agibor B'gvurosoi, and let not the strong praise themselves because of their strength. Al yisale loshir be'oshrei, and let not the wealthy praise themselves because of their wealth. Ki b'zeish yisale l'amisale. But those who want to praise themselves, this is why they shall praise themselves. Haskel v'yado'u osi. Let them praise themselves and how well they know me, and how well and close they are to me. Ki ani Hashem eiseh chesed mishpat utztoka bo'oretz, because I am the God that does kindness, justice, and charity in the land. Kiva eilecho fatzninu Hashem, and this is what I want. This is my desire. The Targum on that posuk, where it states Al Yisalel Echochem, says that was Shlema ben David. King Solomon was the wisest of all men, yet he had no right to praise himself because of his wisdom, because of his brilliance. This was not his doing, it was given to him. Hagibor Shimshon bar Manoach. Samson was the strongest of all men, but he had no right to praise himself in that strength. It was not his, it was given to him. Achav bar Omri was wealthiest of all men, but he had no right to praise himself with this. Now, to understand this a little deeper and a little clearer, what the Torah and the Gemara is telling us, that all of these attributes that men possess, they are given to men through decree of heaven, and therefore they are gifts. They are matono v'nitan al yidei gzeira. And therefore, why should he praise himself? It's not his doing. He could have been born differently. He could have been born, like it states, white, black, red. He could have been born weak or strong, wealthy or poor, wise or stupid. And the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Masechta Tainus, Gimel Maftoches, there are three keys which the Almighty does not give out to anyone, even to an angel. He himself takes care of it. These three keys are for life and death. When it comes to dealing out life, who will be born and who will not be born, that Hashem takes care of. Not us. We cannot bring life into this world merely whenever we want to. Rain and parnoso, that is only through Hashem. We cannot bring rain and we cannot bring prosperity. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. And not only that, he does not even give this key to an angel. And Tchiyas HaMeshim, the rising of the dead. So we see that wealth is not in our hands. And the Gemara tells us in Masechet Kiddushin, is a Mishnah, the end of the Masechet, Daf Pei Beis. Remeya Emer, Le'elam Yelamed Odom Es Benay Umones Nekiya V'Kalo. When a person comes, he has an obligation to teach his son some type of livelihood, a trade, a profession, whatever it might be. What should he choose? He should choose one which is Nekiya and Kalo. He should choose a type of career for his son, first of all, which is Nekiyah. The Gemara, the Rishonim say, Nekiyah min hagezel, something that he will not have to steal and be a thief in order to be successful. And also something which is kala, comparatively easy. He shouldn't look for the most difficult profession in the world. A good, healthy one. And he should not be misguided. Many times you deal with parents. I have to deal with parents, especially Jewish parents. They want the best for their children. Not second best, but the best, which is good. But many times they're misguided as to what is the best. They take what looks like the best career at this time, and whether they're
children are interested in this or not, whether they have the aptitude for this or not. Now, this is what they want for their children. And we see times change. What was good 20 years ago might not be a good career today. What was good 10 years ago might not be a good career today. What's a good career today could be a lousy career 10 years from now. I was speaking to someone just recently and he said, I think you're aware that it used to be a degree was a guarantee of a job. He says, not so today. So this is what Rebbe is telling us. He says, don't be misguided by these fashions of time. But look at something which is clean, honest, healthy, something that a person can cope with. And then, b'mispalo l'misha ha'esher v'anachosim shaloi. And then, b'mispalo, pray to the one who wealth is in his possession. She'enu monei she'en ba'anias v'ashiris. You will not find any career or profession or livelihood in the world, and there is no exception to this, that does not have both prosperity and poverty in it. Many people go into a particular career and they prosper, and others go into the same career and they become impoverished. Shelei anios mina umanais velei ashiris mina umanais. Poverty does not come from the career, and wealth doesn't come from the career. Rather, it comes from the merit of the individual and in accordance to what the Almighty wants to give to him, wants to dish out to him. So therefore, the mayor said, don't place the emphasis on what you feel is the best career at this time. But you must take all kind of other things into consideration, because the career is just a medium for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's brochos, for his blessings. At any rate, here also we see that wealth is not in the hands of the individual. How many times do we see people become, one can become a doctor and becomes wealthy, and another person becomes a doctor and he has a hard time making a living. One becomes a lawyer and he becomes wealthy, and another person becomes a lawyer and he has a hard time making a living. One person can come and he can work 18 hours a day and becomes a tycoon. Another person works 18 hours a day and he can't even support his family. So therefore, these attributes are gifts. And they decrease. And they're not in our hands. Now, this does not mean that we do not have to be careful, that we do not have to guard. You can give a person a wonderful gift, and he can waste it. He can squander it. He can destroy it. You give a child a diamond, and he can lose it. Whatever gifts we are given, they are gifts, and we must take care of them. They need a shmira. You have to guard them, a shmira ma'ula, a very, very good guardian. You have to work at them. A person is given talents. These talents are worthless unless he's going to do something with it. He's given wealth. He can lose it in a day unless he's careful with it. He's given wisdom. That wisdom is a gift, is a decree, but it can be worthless. It can destroy it. He can take drugs and blow his mind. He can be given gvura, strength, born with wonderful health, and he can make himself into a sick person. Even more so. The Gemara says, "Harbe meisim, kodem itom." There are many who die before their time because they were given the gift of life and they do not take care of it. So this is all in mili de gashmi. when it comes to these physical attributes, we must realize the Mishamayim, they're given to us from heaven. We have to be thankful for what we receive. We have to do our best with them and take very good care of them. But they're not our doing. Now when it comes to Mili Dishmaya, when it comes to heavenly gifts, for example, here a person is very righteous, a person fears the Almighty, a person seeks the truth, a person is a very just person, he's a very kind person, and so forth and so forth. Those, to the contrary, are not gifts from heaven. That is what the man himself made. Because HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Meyirei Shemayim, that goes into the category of the fear of heaven, and on that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't dish out. That's left up to the person himself. This is just contrary to popular thought. People like to think that their worldly achievements are their achievements. It was their brilliance, it was their work that did all of this. And not so. They happened to be born with a good mind. They could have been born with a poor mind. They happened to be born into a good, into a wealthy family. They were given a good health and so forth. And then other people like to think that, well, this person is such a good person because he was born with such a good nature. This person was born into a wonderful family. This person is such a fine person. He was born into a religious family or a Rabbonish family or whatever it might be. No, everybody has different situations. But what he develops from that in spiritual gifts, that's his own. The Rambam elaborates on this. This is one of the classical Rambams. The Rambam in Hilchis Tshuva, Perek He, he says, Rishus lechol odem nesuna. Permission is granted to every individual lehatis atzma lederech tova uliyis liyaisadik harishus biyodoy lehatis atzma lederech ro uliyis rosho. Permission, we're speaking here of freedom. You know, you have always your extreme liberals, they want freedom. Man was given freedom. Freedom was given to every individual to be a just, upright, God-fearing man, or to be an evil person so far as he denies the existence of the Almighty. And that's what is written in the Torah, Hein odem hoye ka'achan mimena ladas tevara, kleimar. When man was created, the angel said that this man is different than all other creations, and there's not another creation like him. Because he was given this area that when it comes to choosing between truth and falsehood, good and evil, this was left only up to him. No one will stop him. Do not think the Rambam says, like those of the nations of the world that lack the seichel, or he says, like unfortunately even many of Israel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezer, he decrees on a person in the beginning whether he will be righteous or wicked or evil. That's not true. This is left up to man. He can be from the most righteous people of the world. He writes he can be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, or he can be from the most evil. Ve'ein le'mishia kafua, and there will be no one that will force him to go either way. But this is left to the man. Therefore, if he chooses to be righteous, then he has a right to praise himself on this. because this is his own doing. And therefore the Torah gives him reward. If he chooses to be evil, then he has a right, Rambam says he has what to cry over, because this is his own doing. And he will be punished. And this is from the great Shoroshim, from the great roots and foundations of Torah, Amud HaTorah VaMitzvos. As it states, Re'ei Nosati Lefanecha Hayom Es HaChayim, I am giving in front of, placing in front of you life and death. U'bacharto b'chayim, you shall choose life. If it was not like this, the Rambam says, then how could the Torah promise reward for doing good and punishment for doing evil? It's not your doing. The good is not your doing and the evil is not your doing. So that's not just. Then he asks a question. If that's the case, so there, it comes out to be that there's an area which is even outside the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Almighty guides and conducts the entire world. And here's an area which is excluded from that. How can that be? Rambam says it can be, because this was the Almighty's will. This is what he wanted. He made an off-limits area even for himself. He said that I will guide and I will manage and conduct the entire world. But there's a certain area which is off-limits for me. And that will be left up to man. That's why we see that man is capable of destroying a world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let him do it. One classical example of this is we had not long ago, right before Tisha B'Av, in Parshas Shelach, the people came to Moshe and they said, we want to send in scouts and spies to see the land, to know if what's doing. And the Almighty saw that danger, that they'll go and they'll see all of the nations and they'll come back with an evil report. And this was the downfall of Israel, of that generation. It's because of that they wandered 40 years in the desert and that generation died. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do a simple thing? He could have told Moshe, tell them no, don't let them go. What would a father have done? Father would have told his son, you're not going, finished. We would have avoided all of that bloodshed, 40 years in the desert, the death of that generation, and from there came the Churban, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, of the second Beis HaMikdash, Tisha B'Av. So he should have said, I'm not letting you go. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't have said, because that was off limits for him. When he created the world, this was his desire. When someone wants to come, he wants to do wrong, we have to open the door for him. We cannot close the door for him, the Almighty says. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, he didn't, not robots, that he didn't need this world for, that he has angels. He can create people that will only do good. That's a robotic society. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted something greater than that. He wanted an individual who, through his own development, would come to ultimate truth and goodness and justice. So then he cannot interfere. This is what the Rambam writes. And that's why Shlema Melech said, King Solomon said, Smach bocher, bocher b'yaldusecho, v'daki al kol eila yivi'echo l'lkim b'mishpot. Let the youth rejoice in their young age, because they have so much opportunity in front of them. for whatever good that they will choose, they will receive outstanding reward, because that is theirs. A person has life, he has opportunity, especially someone who's young. He has so much opportunity in front of him. He has a lifetime in front of him. He has youth and vigor and good health and ambition. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon said, "Smach bochur b'yaldusecho." But remember that if you choose what is good, then you'll receive endless reward because that's yours. But if you choose evil, then that also will come to trial by the Almighty. This is what we is known as the Bechiras B'nei Odom, the free area that was given to man. With this we can understand in this, the Rambam writes in several places, for example in Hilchos Deos, when it comes to character development, the Rambam says that people are born with different natures. Some anger easily, others never anger. Some by nature are very generous, others are not. But he says, nevertheless, it's within the hands of every individual to develop his nature, to develop his character, to improve on it. When it comes to the crown of Torah, the Rambam says this is in the hands of every individual. Nobody is going to hand them the crown of Torah. With this we understand, states in the Mishnah Novis, a phrase, Misameach es amokum. Remeir Aimer, whoever studies Torah lishma for its own sake, brings rejoicing to the Almighty. Or one of the Memchest Vorim, the 48 attributes, which a person needs in order to gain the crown of Torah, Misameach es amokum, he has to bring rejoicing to the Almighty. How does one make the Almighty rejoice? That seems a little remote. Another person he can make rejoice, but the Almighty. The answer is because there's an area which even is beyond the Almighty's reach. And that is tzaddik. For an individual to become great and noble in righteousness, that's beyond the Almighty's reach. Because if he would interfere with that, then it's no longer the individual, it's Hashem. And therefore, when an individual becomes great and noble in these things, that brings simcha, that brings a great rejoicing to the Almighty, where he says, look what my creation has done. It states, Yismach Hashem b'masov, that even in the inanimate creations of the Almighty, he takes rejoicing. He takes simcha, joy from. So how much more so when his greatest creation, the human being, when he sees that it reaches excellence and perfection in this area, in spiritual achievements, this brings rejoicing to him. Because this is something that he would not be able to do. If he would do it, it would be his, it wouldn't be the individual's. And we can understand from here one of the Mishnahs, which is the last Mishnah. In some texts it's the last Mishnah in Masechet Ovis. Rabbi Yossi Eimer. Rabbi Yossi says, Bishas p'tirosei shel Odom, when a person leaves this world, in Malavin es Odom, man is not escorted, leiv kesef, leiv zov, leiv avonim teves, leiv magolias. His silver, his gold, his precious stones, his pearls do not escort him. When he goes to the grave, all of that is left behind. What escorts him? Ela Torah u'ma'asim tovim bilvat. His Torah and his deeds. The Maral explains his wealth, his health, his billions. These are not actually his. They were a gift that were given to him, and they were given to him for this world. Therefore, when he leaves this world, he has to leave them behind. But his spiritual achievements are his. Nobody gave them to him. He himself achieved that. And therefore they are his. Those are kinyonim. And if they are his forever. And nobody can take them away from him. And therefore, when he leaves this world, they go with him. So this is what the Gemara means when it states, Hakol bidei shomayim chutz miyiras shomayim. That everything, all attributes that the person receives, that heaven gives to him. He must pray to heaven that heaven should give him good things, and he should be very, very thankful for what he has. But when it comes to the fear of heaven, the area of good and evil, that's not in the hands of heaven. That was given over, that's in the hands of men. Unfortunately, we take a look at our world today. We live in a world, a society that's sick. We see too much of this. Now there are two points that we must add to this, to what we have said. We are speaking here of the physical acquisitions of a person and the spiritual acquisitions. So one point relating to the physical acquisition and one point relating to the spiritual. When it comes to physical acquisitions, as we mentioned, even though they are temporary gifts and they're not really part of the person in essence, but if a person uses them properly, he can turn them into permanent gifts. For example, you take someone who was given chokhmah, he was given wisdom. If he uses his wisdom for Torah, if he uses his wisdom for mitzvahs, if he uses wisdom, his wisdom for gemilas chasodim, for good deeds to other people, if he uses wisdom, his wisdom, for good things in the world, for noble things in the world, then he's using a physical gift which is just limited to the physical world, a temporary world, but with that he is building and achieving non-physical qualities which will last forever. You take Gevura, a person was given strength, he's given good health, he's given, let's say, long years. He can waste it away, he can use it for himself, for selfish purposes, or he can use it for noble deeds. He can use it for Ma'asim Tovim, for Gemilas Chesed, for Torah. He can use it to improve society, improve the world. Then again, he's taking a physical attribute and creating an endless spiritual entity with it. You take an ocean. Someone was given wealth. He can use the wealth and squander it for empty pursuits in this world, temporal things that will turn to dust after he leaves this world. Or he can invest it. He can invest it in spiritual projects. He could use it to the good of others, to improve society, improve the world. He can use it to serve Hashem. Then that wealth is no longer physical, but it's spiritual. And that he'll take with him. In other words, he can utilize all of the temporary physical gifts to become endless spiritual achievements. This is what the Gemara tells us in Ksubis. Gemara says, Molach Momen Chosid. If a person wants to salt his money, what does that mean? In those days, they didn't have refrigeration. And they traveled long distances. So how could they take provisions along? Especially through the heat of deserts. So they used to take meat or other such things and put a real heavy salt on it. And that would preserve it. And then, when they would want to eat it, they'd have to soak it. So salt, therefore, was used for long-term preservation. So the Gemara asks, people used to say, how can a person salt his money? What can a person do to guarantee that his money should last a long time? So the Gemara answered, chesed. Let him do chesed with it. Let him do kindliness with it. And then his money will last forever. Because no matter where he invests his money, we know there's no guarantee. You can invest it in the bank, the interest rates can fall. You can invest in the stock market can crash. Invest it in gold, gold can fall. You invest in dollars, dollars can fall. There's no guarantee. But when you invest it in deeds, then that's an investment forever. Because those deeds are yours now. And nobody can ever take them away from you. Not only that, even when you leave this world, that goes with you. So therefore, Molach Momen Chesed. You want to salt your money, you want to preserve it forever. Do Chesed and Stoka. Do good deeds with it. And you'll preserve your money forever. A similar Gemara. This is just the opposite of human nature, popular thought. Because a person wants to guarantee that he'll keep his money, so he puts it away, he doesn't use it. A similar Gemara is what we learned last year in the first parak of Baba Kama, Baba Basra. Munbaz HaMelech. Munbaz was a king, very good king. And he inherited a rich dynasty. And came a time of severe famine and drought. The people came to him and they said, we're hungry, we don't have what to eat. And he commanded that the treasure houses should be opened up and the money given out. And all of his counselors and his cabinet ministers and advisors came to him and they said, how can you do such a thing? All of the wealth that your fathers and your grandfathers and your great-grandfathers spent centuries building up, and here you're squandering it. So he said, they gathered money for this world. I am gathering the money not only for this world, but for the next world also. And this is what he meant. They built up a fortune, but only for this world. When they left, they didn't take it with them. And that could be lost any time. What I'm doing now to this money, it will never be lost. Because this lasts forever. So therefore, another example. A person is given a brilliance. He's very clever. Some people use it for their own selfish means. Another person can become a doctor. And he helps people, he cures people. You can have another person who finds a cure for tuberculosis, or a cure for polio, or a cure for cancer. There he's taken his wisdom and he's turned it into eternal chesed, even after he dies and that wisdom is gone, it lives forever. So therefore, this that we say that these are temporary gifts and decrees, yes, but utilized properly, they can be forever. That's in regards to the worldly gifts of a person, which he is given. Kinyoni Shomai. Now, when we come to the spiritual gifts, which we said, these are not gifts though. This is what the person himself develops, what he himself achieves. And here we have to add also one point. Even though we say that Chutz miYirushalayim, Yirushalayim is not in the hands of heaven. This he leaves for the individual. And Hashem will not intervene. Nevertheless, the Gemara does tell us he will not intervene. He will not stop a person. If a person chooses to do evil, he will not stop him. If a person wants to do good, he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to decide to do it. But the Gemara does tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very good and he helps a person. For example, we have a posuk at the end of Echo. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecho Vinoshuva, where Klal Yisrael said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecho, return us to you, Vinoshuva, and we will return to you. The Medrash asks, what does that mean? Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecho, return us to you, Vinoshuva, and we will return to you. Omer Knesset Yisrael Lekuchi Brichu. So the Medrash Echo says, Klal Yisrael says to Hashem, bring us back to you. We strayed away. We're in a long golus, an exile. Bring us back to you. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no. You have to come back to me. Because tshuva is your job, not mine. So Knesset Yisrael says, but we don't have strength to do tshuva. We've gone so far that we do not have strength to come back to you. And there's a whole debate. Is it my job to bring you back to me, or is it your job to come back to me? So finally a compromise is reached. Hashiveinu Hashem Eleikecho, you start the process. You will start to bring us back, but then v'noshuva, and then immediately though we will have to come back on our own. That is what is meant. Hashiveinu Hashem Eleikecho, return us to you, v'noshuva, and we will return on our own to you. We see also the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, in Perek Abayna Daf Kuf Daled, the Gemara says, Habo letaher, if a person once has decided, Lord Voruchai, his heart has uplifted him, he has become inspired to do something good, Messiah Nesoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. If he's not inspired to do something good, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to push him. But if he's decided he wants to do a Dovah Tov, he wants to do something which is good, he wants to do a mitzvah, he wants to learn or teach Torah, he wants to do chesed, he wants to do tzedakah, mishpat, habol etayer, then Shemayim will help him. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a push. Habo letamei, peischimei. If a person decides to do evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't push him. But he won't close the door on him. He'll open the door. He has to, because that's left in his domain. Another example. The Medrash Rabbah tells us in Shir HaShirim, Berakei, Harchev pihu va'almehu. Harchev pihu v'alamehu. Open up your mouth and I will fill you up. What does that mean? Pishuli Pesach Kehude Shalmachat. Open up your mouth the size of a head of a pin, of a needle. Vani Eftach Lecho Pesach Kepishai Shal Ulam. And I will open your mouth up the size of a great hall. Open up your heart the size of a head of a needle. And I will open your heart up the size of a great antechamber to a palace. This is what is meant, Harchev Piyu. I will widen the opening and fill it up. So here we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help the person a little get started, but then he's going to have to do it. But once he does it, if it's letov, if it's for good, then he'll help him more. He'll become inspired a little. Hashem will put his own spirit in the person to inspire him even more and to uplift him even more. And we see the Gemara says that Luuk Megirsa Boyesati Rishmaya. If a person learns and labors, Hashem won't learn for him. But if he learns and he labors and he toils and he sweats, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. Or Sod Hashem Lireof. Once a person starts to fear Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open his Torah to reveal some of the Torah to him. If that adds more fear of Hashem, then he will give him more Torah. And so on, to the point where whatever good we do here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will add, he will add Eser Yodesh Mishamayim, tenfold from heaven. So, these are the two domains of the world. Worldly acquisitions and spiritual acquisitions. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the people. I'm not asking you to build worlds and to move worlds. You don't have to become great industrialists. You don't have to become multimillionaires and so forth and so on. You don't have to become the most talented people. No, that's for me. For you I ask only, Le'iroisi, you fear me. If you fear me a little, I will place my kedusha, my sanctity in you, where you'll fear me even more. And so on and so on. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except the fearing of heaven itself, that was left in the hands of man. There was a great story on this, told, great example, by the Dubner Magid. He was the famous Magid in Vilna during the time of the Vilna Gaon. And he used to explain this with an example. Happened to him once. He used to travel. He would travel from city to city, and he would darshan. So he'd give droshes to the people and busa to the people and inspire them to serve Hashem. And one day he came into a city, and his baggage wasn't there yet. So he went to his hotel room and he left instructions with the porter that as soon as the baggage is ready, he should come and bring it. He's waiting and waiting. Finally, he hears a wagon draw up, and he hears all kind of noise, and the porter is coming, and he's schlepping a big, oversized trunk, and up the steps and sweating, and he brings it to him. And he says, "What's this?" He says, "This is your baggage." He says, "That's not mine. I had one little suitcase. This is something that he couldn't carry. It took a few people to carry." He says, "You brought me the wrong baggage." All right, the porter was very upset. Then he says, "Won't you pay me something?" He says, pay you. He says, here, you brought me the wrong baggage. It's not even my baggage. And I should pay you for your work. All your labor wasn't even for me. He says, that's what unfortunately can happen to many people when they get upstairs after 120 years. They come and they show HaKadosh Baruch Hu what their achievements were on this world, of which they gave up their years and their life and their health for. And they literally killed themselves for. And now they want payment, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is not my baggage. This is not what was for me. I asked you to do one little thing, that's all. And I should pay you for doing work that belongs to someone else. So therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, Ki'im le'yiroisi. This is the work I ask of you. Anything else, don't worry about that. That I'll worry about. This is your job to worry. This is the great principle which the Chazal tell us, Hakol bidei shomayim chutz miyirei shomayim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.